Welcome.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Vacation Disasters special Patron's Choice podcast, voted by you, the listeners, our patrons, on our Patreon page. So yes, this is a podcast for all of our patrons that contribute $5 or more a month, and for all the new patrons that we've gotten from Joanne's fantastic...
Great job.
Yay!
Call to arms to join the crew. So, welcome all new patrons, and we're excited to be sharing some of our vacation disaster stories.
Yeah, what did this win over? What did this beat?
It beat the thing that we have to do at the end of the summer, which is the broadcast Ramblecast challenge thing.
All trivia.
You really don't need to fight over me. Okay, it's
no,
really...
seriously, we're fighting your
no, if he wants to go, he can go.
It's pretty funny.
Ask him lots of sports questions.
No, that's mean. No, make it a fair playing field.
No, who's going to be the quiz master? Has that been decided?
You.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Well, Jay doesn't want to come back, so he'll slant it our way.
Yeah, you're not coming up. You don't have to come up with any of the questions. I don't think it's all trivia, though, because I promised Shandy that it wouldn't be all trivia. So there's got to be something else that we could do.
Like, guess a rabbit out of our hat?
Jay, do you know who the band's name was in...
the Shrimp Shack Shooters?
Yeah, do you know... What was it?
Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad that you know the name of that band. Yeah.
So what you're saying is you want Jay on your team?
No, who didn't know? Because I know it was the title of your episode, right?
Oh, okay.
Well, someone butchered it.
Someone who...
Captain Geach and the Shrimp... I still can't say it. Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters.
Hey, got it.
You got it again. That's good.
I didn't say it when he did.
Just listen to like the last 4 minutes of the podcast, and it's literally probably 25 takes, and he can't say it.
And it's for the win.
It's for.
And I go, oh, I got this. Is easy. Captain Geach and the Shrimp. And then once I got to there, I stumbled. I go, wait, I know this. I can't say it. I couldn't say it.
That's the worst when that happens.
For the Ramblecasters, were you worried he was stroking out again?
It was pretty much that way.
To be fair, I didn't even attempt to say it because I would
prefer. That was always my like trivia name at school if we had to pick a name or a team.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, I went and posted the name, but then I found on YouTube the making of the how they came about making the movie. They almost didn't hire what's his name? Was it Tom? Who's the drummer?
Cruise?
No.
JK.
Because he looked too much like Tom Hanks.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's what Tom Hanks said. Then Rita Wilson at the last second said, look, he's perfect for the part.
Yeah.
You need to hire him.
Hmm. They're saying he looks too much like Tom Hanks in that movie. It's his son, Colin Hanks, who is in it.
It's the only movie where his entire family is in it.
Really?
His daughter and his wife and his son.
Well, I don't think, I think the drummer, Tom, looks more like Tom Hanks than Colin Hanks.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Really?
Colin
looks like his dad a lot. Maybe it's more his manners.
Yeah.
Could be.
I still think, I know, Jack, you defended it. I still think that he's it's the worst episode. Not the worst episode, but it's the most pointless episode of Band of Brothers is the one that he's in.
It's my favorite one.
I like it, but it's just the whole point of his role was it's just like, okay, he's an officer that comes in and then he leaves.
Well, I think it's saying that I think it was showing how the grunts, how the guys on the front line point all shiny and new, and how the one guy messed Bastone Webster.
Right.
It's my favorite. It's my favorite one.
Can I talk about scrapbooking now? If you guys are going to talk about this.
Oh no.
Colleen is actually scrapbooking this whole time.
Cindy and I want to go on vacation. They have a Band of Brothers tour.
Yeah.
So that's what we want to do someday.
Oh, that's cool. Where does it start? Like, how do you do it?
Starts in South Carolina.
Oh.
Sobel takes you on the beginning.
Did that make you run up?
It makes you run up. You have to do it within 15 minutes, 6 miles in 30 minutes. I'm like,
I couldn't walk it in 15 minutes, yeah. Probably.
Talk about don't help vacation. That man! Don't help that man!
That's super cool. You guys disaster. Should totally do that someday.
Yeah.
It's a combination of both.
Then we have to, we take a boat to a ship to London, England. And then we parachute into France. and we're off target. Then we gotta make sure we can find each other.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah.
I heard you guys would be a great duo on The Amazing Race. So is this like Band of Brothers, The Amazing Race edition?
Yeah, there you go.
I think you could just take separate Ubers and then try to fight.
You think so?
If you want to do the parachute thing, you know, I mean.
Hey.
I want as authentic as possible.
I don't know if I'm watching Survivor this season, but I'm definitely watching Amazing Race next season because Eliza is on it and Corinne.
From Survivor? Wait, they're a team?
Yeah, they're a team. I like loud, obnoxious people, and I'm all in.
You are like a loud and obnoxious person.
I am, yes.
But it's good that we're talking about some vacation ideas because we are here, as voted by our patrons, to share some of our vacation disasters, and we have a panel of Jay and Jack Network greats.
Well, the favorites here.
I'm just here to represent the female voice. I'm not a great.
Well, we have the one of the three broads from the broadcast, Colleen Gladfelter. Welcome to the show.
What?
There's a lot of debate about who the fifth Beatle is. Is it George Martin?
Oh, that's right. I'm not really representing the female voice. We've got Matt.
But, thank you, Jay Leno. There is
Stinky,
no debate for who the fourth broad is, and that is our next guest, Matt.
I thought you were the fourth.
Yeah, you're Matt's the fifth broad. You're the fourth broad.
He's just a creepy stalker who talks during the middle of the broadcast.
Yeah, that is Jay.
Uninvited. Yeah.
Jay sat there while we recorded last night too. But sometimes Jay laughs at what I'm saying, and it gives me like courage to go on. I'm like, somebody likes this.
he's like a podcasting coach.
You found your Ed McMahon.
I really did.
Yes.
Like last week I made a joke, and nobody laughed at it, but Jay was on the other side of the desk, like losing his S, and I was like, okay, this landed for someone. So.
I can remember someone sending an email into the Lost Podcast years ago saying, Jack, just because Jay laughs at everything, you're really not that funny.
And were you like, thanks, soul crusher?
I said, well, I can't argue with you. He does laugh at everything, so what do you want me to do?
Alex laughs at everything that people say, so.
So you got it from his dad.
Yeah.
Not Zach. Zach will look at you like, that's not funny.
Yeah, Zach will be like, nope.
Next up is a host on Game of Thrones with Jay, Jack, and Nick. And he's that other guy.
The other guy.
Which, by the way, that guy wrote into the broadcast to talk about you being the other guy, Nick.
Nice.
And it is none other than Nicholas Dunn.
I think we should just keep him as the other guy.
I like it too.
He could be like the bass player in The Thing You Do.
Mm-hmm. Rumor has it, he also wrote into the Jay and Jack and said that Jack's not that funny. Honestly.
Well, now that Jay's gone, I don't have anyone to laugh. I mean, well,
the thing is he would have been the first person that wrote into our podcast maybe like 5 years, you know, into the podcast saying, really, guys, you've jumped the shark. Like, I'm a traditionalist. You're from the best, and you've kind of gone off the rails. It's not even close to what your first season was like.
It's true, yeah.
First season of what?
Of the Lost Podcast. Yeah, you're phoning it in after, like, season two.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, really, all of Jack's, you know, jokes and theories really ended it.
We wanted new material. You know, it wasn't...
Well, to be fair, once you've hit a grand slam, I mean, what else can you do?
11 years later, we're still getting lazy writing.
I don't know. I think like season 5 was your prime, you know, and season 4 was like podcasters held Lost together during season 4. That was the writer's strike. That was like some tough
time. That was at 4?
Yeah.
Who's in the casket season, right?
You used to have a person that every week would say, yeah, this wasn't your best episode. Yeah, good episode this week, guys. He would send us emails on that.
And then he would later write in under the name Ethan to the...
I used to say, sometimes you have to consider the episode. Yeah. I mean, I'm not writing it.
Yeah.
You can tell that Jack really let all this stuff go and he hasn't held on to it at all.
No. Well, it just, you say things I can remember. Well, I answered like a billion emails, like remembering five.
So,
well, they were the best five.
Last but not least, Jack Laufelter from every podcast.
Oh, is Jack on the show?
I'm on vacation.
Oh, there you are. I hadn't heard you yet.
Yeah.
and don't forget Jay.
Jay's here, guys.
Fresh out of retirement.
Well, which means we've been recording for about 5 minutes. The show is over. Thank you very much.
Keeping it a tight window. Hope everyone enjoyed our disaster stories.
Yes, they were perfect.
This was a disaster of a opening.
We have all taken vacations of some sort, right? I feel like we've all...
Yeah, I went on vacation one time. It was really bad. I had a scrapbook the whole time.
Dude, my scrapbook is so off the hook. Okay, spoiler alert for the next broadcast, but I took this week off so I could specifically... hang out with Jay, hang out with Alex, and scrapbook.
Like you're,
I got a scrapbook.
The only person I know from our generation that scrapbooks, and that's things.
Because I have this great setup, I'm like so happy. I'm just in my happy place. It's gonna be hard to complain about a vacation.
You should open up a store on Etsy. Shrimp Shack Shooters.
Not that hard.
It is when you choke it. When you have, it's like, you know, bases loaded, two outs, and here comes a fat fastball right down the middle of the plate. Swing and a miss.
He could never get Shack right. It was Shrimp Shrap. It was Shrimp
Shrap. Shrimp Shrap.
Shrimp Shrap.
Damn it.
It was Shrimp Wrap. Shrimp Shrap. Shrimp. It was so many variations of it. He just, the more he got in deeper into it, he just literally laughed.
It's amazing.
That is so awesome.
And so what we will do is we'll go around our round table here, our, you know, digital round table, and each person will share a story, a disaster. It doesn't necessarily have to be your entire vacation was a disaster. It can just be maybe one element of your trip or your vacation, just, or it could just be funny, or it could just be a straight-up disaster. We'll go from there. Is everybody cool with that? Is everybody cool with the rules?
Yeah. Sure.
Rules.
Yeah.
And a knife fight!
Now, Jay, we were going to share a story, so...
1, 2, 3, go.
Whoa. No one said about sharing.
Sharing, Colleen, you have to have your own. So don't take the one that we were going to use.
You're going to use that one?
You've traveled a lot more than me, so you have to have more disasters. Wow. Without any...
Don't expect me to stay quiet during it.
That's the time I got pinned down in Normandy. That was that.
Got the shrapnel on my butt.
Yeah.
That was not a vacation.
And then your cab driver got lost on the way to the airport.
I don't want to get off the boat. You guys go ahead. I'll catch up.
Colleen, take it away.
Wait, no, I don't want to start.
Oh, you're first on my little window thing.
Well, you're first on my window thing. Matt is second on my window thing.
Doesn't matter. I am the host of this program. And I have selected you to go first. So go ahead, Colleen.
Okay, well then I'm going to tell the story that we're both going to tell.
Pressure.
Okay.
Actually, you won't have a story, and that's your way to get out of it. I know how you play.
Do whatever you want to do. The floor is yours.
No, I am conceding.
2 minutes out, 3 minutes on.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure. I will take over.
Matt has a top ten.
That's why he's the favorite.
No, I was thinking of a top 10 summer movies, but I knew we wouldn't have enough time for that.
I mean, you could do your top 10 vacation disasters. I mean, it's all,
summer rental, Jaws.
I just have one main story to tell, and I knew it would happen just as my credit card machine is processing at work. So if you hear any more beeps and squeaks, that's...
Can you record on a day you don't have any sales?
Would that be better? Not at 9:30, I'm going to have some way of changing this processing time. Anyway, long story short, My wife and family, my two kids, we are traveling eastbound on a vacation to Vermont. We have hopes of going on towards Maine in this vacation, but that's stupid.
R2,
that should be it from you. So we had just left.
Time.
This was probably about 3 years ago. So, you know, maybe it's been mentioned before. I don't know. Let's see. 2000. Yeah, maybe 3 years ago.
Might have been on a sports talk or something. So nobody.
Yeah, you know, nobody would have been listening to it on The Walking Dead that would be right. Listening to this now.
So only Becky and Ed know what you're about to share, right?
Exactly. Okay. Right. So,
well, they weren't listening either because they're fighting with each other back and forth.
Anybody that helped. So we had a wonderful time at Niagara Falls. We camped there, and we were a little ragged, right? Like we hadn't, you know, you're leaving the campground. Our van is fully loaded, and we drive across upper state New York there, you know, and we're headed into Vermont. We're going to this campground. We have a reservation at this place. And, you know, it's a long day of travel. We're not thinking too much of it, but there's this one big hill, this one major hill, and the van's just fully loaded. And for whatever reason, it's not wanting to go. Like I'm giving it all I can. And it's not going up into any of the higher transmission things, right? I'm flubbing on what's wrong with it because it's part of the story, right? So I get to the top of the hill and I realize like something's wrong because I'm looking back and I just see all of this kind of smoke kind of billowing out of the back of the van, which at this point I'm like, that's not good.
is that kind of like Cheech and Chong?
Yeah, kind of, except with your entire family and a fully loaded van. So at any rate, we were on these country roads, you know, these back roads. I mean, I don't think there is any main roads through Vermont, but lovely country. So we're headed down the hill. And at this point, the smoke kind of stops. So I'm like, okay, maybe all's good, right? And we're almost there. We're almost to the campsite, which just so happens to be kind of at the top of this huge, long, steep, windy backwoods hill, right? Mm-hmm. Probably shouldn't have gone up that hill. But I said, it's fine. We're going to get to the campground. Everything's going to be fine, right? We get to the very tippy top of this windy road and stop. And that's it. Like, the van's not going to go any further at this point. So good news is we have all of our stuff that we need to camp, and we're at the campground. Bad news is there's no cell phone reception. The closest is like a town about 4 miles away, and it's Sunday. So there's really, oh no, it's Saturday night. That's right. The next day was Sunday because it was going to be Father's Day.
Oh,
right. So it's Saturday evening, you know, and yeah, we're kind of SOL at this point. And, I meet a nice, kind, friendly, camp park person that's staying there.
Serial killer.
Probably. Dan's future job.
I was going to say, Dan was on vacation with you?
No, it was this nice, kind woman. She was actually from Oregon, but she was living in Vermont. So that was cool. And she drove me into town so that I could actually call my dad, at which point he says, "What do you want? I'm busy here. I cannot talk." Yeah. I'm throwing my dad under the bus, but you got to understand at this point, I'm like, this was my one call. You know, like I'm.
Well, you made a mistake.
So meanwhile, while I'm in town, my wife has met a kind, old, friendly gentleman out for his evening walk with his wife, not by himself, like some creepy molester. Yeah. And he is, of course, like, hey, I'll help you. And they do. So they were our saving grace. They were our Father's Day angel.
Well, so your dad, wait, your dad never helped you?
No, he didn't, actually. he didn't. So
on Father's Day Eve, or was it on
it was Father's Day Eve?
Was your dad the man in black from Westworld?
At times he can be. It seems like that. But anyway, so the gentleman that we meet, he actually came out the very next morning. He brought I bought some transmission fluid. We were able to put some in there. It had lost all of the transmission fluid, basically. And there was a gasket that allowed for, if it overheated, it would just let it all out. And so that's what was smoking on the vehicle. Fortunately, there was like a Ford dealership within like 5 miles or 10 miles. And it was all kind of like downhill. So he went with me on that Monday. His wife helped us get set up in a... like there's no inn, there's no Holiday Inn. It's all, you know, it's all Bob Newhart out there, you know, like little bed and breakfasts.
Yeah.
So, I don't get that reference, but continue.
Okay. Newhart. Yeah. He ran a bed and breakfast, Hampshire or Vermont? Vermont.
It was Vermont.
Vermont. So it was kind of like that. We got connected with a bed and breakfast there. And, meanwhile, while our vehicle is kind of being looked at and tested, and the gentleman was so nice. He actually loaned me a vehicle so that we could kind of get moved around town. So that was nice. And all's well that ends well. We were very stinky after like several days of camping, and the one reprieve is there was a creek right behind our campground that was ice cold mountain water. But we found a nice, cool pool that we could all dip in, and it was nice. It was a way that we could kind of feel refreshed, even though we were in the middle of nowhere. What's that?
You looked up and you saw a moose peeing downriver.
Yeah, exactly.
From the land of sky blue water.
I pulled out some hams, yeah, anyway, that was my vacation disaster. I realized that it, you know, it did have a happy ending. We did get home. We nursed the vehicle all the way back. The irony being is that we could have had the part replaced, but it was back in Indiana.
Oh, man.
So they would have had to have, like, and so...
overnighted it.
Yeah, and so we...
Your dad could have picked it up for you.
Right. we ended up nursing that van all the way back to Indiana, and I drove it for another year or so until I
sold, got another year out of it.
No, 2 years, because I sold it this spring. So I finally gave up the ghost.
What replaced the dead van?
What replaced the dead van? What was that now?
You sold the van. What'd you get and what'd you replace it with?
Oh, well, that was a deal I worked out with my dad. So I got his kind of old beater. So, yeah.
His old beater, huh?
I did. I got his.
That was his strategy.
Yeah, I feel like your dad is going on a long con on you.
There's definitely a John Locke joke in here, Matt.
Yeah, there's probably some daddy issues too.
You had to give your kidney too? Is that what?
No, I didn't realize that this would all be like surrounding like the worst Father's Day choices that my dad ever made. But I thought it ended up being a nice Father's Day, even though we were stranded. Because sometimes being disconnected from your phones and just around the ones that you loved in nature is the best part of vacation.
It is.
Really? Because I feel like the best part of vacation sometimes is not being around any of the ones I love.
I guess it depends on who those
He can hear you.
That's fine. He told me that he was really upset when my flight got canceled on Friday and we were all going to be home until Saturday. It's like, no, right, Jay? You were like...
brand of like aloneness. It was going to be amazing.
Before I forget that, Matt brought up Newhart. It has probably one of the best finales of any TV show of all time.
It's like one of those classic ones that everybody hates, like Lost.
Yeah.
It's spoofed a lot.
It was like a...
Everybody loves it.
Yeah, I know that one.
All right. Great story, Matt.
I can go.
Next up is going to be Nick, because you don't get to choose, Colleen.
Oh.
Well, you can have some details for mine, and it took my parents a lot longer to answer.
So you had to go find the scrapbook in which you...
No.
It's a scrapbook from 2010.
I knew the story that I wanted to tell. It was from 1997.
I had to get the scrapbook. It was amazing.
It was from February 98, but I didn't remember all the details.
The problem is the glue stuck together. I had to get the glue off.
I know, and the pages got stuck and they ripped. But like, I had to ask them, for some details. I didn't have the details now to tell about it.
I have the details now. It's a great story.
It's your turn. Go.
Well, was it your dad that answered?
Well, my dad answered through my mom.
There you go.
So my mom texted it, but she was like, from dad. Dad says this. And then my sister filled in some blanks. She was wrong because my dad then corrected her. Anyway, okay, cool.
Being on the broadcast, or if you just talk nonstop. Nick, it's your turn. Can you hear me, Nick?
Now it's my turn? Okay. Right. My story is not that good. I'm just opening up with that, just so you know. Most of them revolve around my mom, and that's just the truth.
Listen, a Nick's mom story is a great story.
Well, they're not. Our first family vacation was
our vacation disasters has turned into our parental issue stories.
That's pretty much what. Yeah,
dad pawning him out of a car, or whatever else the deal was. We don't know the full situation of the deal.
He never will.
Well, I've already told the story of my mom, you know, taking the Ambien on the plane, and I thought stroked out. Well, 88 was our first family vacation that I remember, but the one that imprinted on me the most was in 91. And in 88, we went to California, and in 91, we went out west a lot. And
out west with the wagons.
West, yeah. I've said before, like, mom is a hindsight person. And so on this one day of the trip, we're driving along some lake or something, just admiring it. And she sees some little crappy little food stand. She's like, oh, let's eat there. You know, and the dad just kind of dismisses it. They're like, I'm not eating that crappy little hot dog stand, you know? And so we just keep going. Cause it was one line that she said, let's eat there. And then, but the thing is, we can't find another restaurant for like a good hour and a half.
Oh yeah.
And so it's just the next hour of just mom nitpicking. Going, I told you we should have eaten at the blah, 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 blah. I told you we should eat it. Now we're all hungry. You know, and like it's just, and then of course, dad is a very anxiety person. So if you start pestering him like that, he's going to snap, in which he did, and just yelled. and of course, I'm 10, and I'm just watching mom and dad yell at each other back and forth. And so it wasn't too bad that day, but
that day.
The next day, we're driving along somewhere around Salt Lake City area. And I told this before, like mom is the kind of person that when she's driving, she's going to look at all the signs like coming up. The next exit 4 has a Cracker Barrel. Exit 5 has a blah, blah, blah. So the thing is that she just says this stuff out loud to herself. She doesn't really expect anyone to be listening, but she's that way. Like exit 5 has a Wendy's. Ooh, exit 10, exit 10 has a mall. Exit 11 has a blah, 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 you know? And, sure enough, she did. We're getting in Salt Lake City area, and she sees something, and that's all she says. Like exit 20 has an antique shop. And then me and dad are just sitting there like, no big deal. We just keep going. And then by the time we get to like exit, whatever, 25, but, you know, a few miles down the road, she goes, I really wanted to go to that antique store. And we're like, what are you talking about? What antique store? And it just snowballs into this huge argument to where dad finally just says, F it, we'll go to the daggum mall. And like just U-turns it in the middle of the interstate, but, you know, goes all the way back, go to the mall. And then for the next 3 hours of my life, it's literally just me and my sister holding hands and my dad and mom like walking separate as if one of them had shot each other's parents. And it's just it's a day of quiet. Nothing was purchased. No stores were entered. It was just walking down this mall of like, we're here. Have fun. Have fun. You're at the mall. And I can't have fun.
See how vacations bring families together?
Yes.
Like even in the most desperate hours.
Yeah.
How did this get resolved? Like
fighting about it.
That day ended, and that's just how it was. But what really tops it off is that my sister was 13 or 14 at the time. And she was going through, like a lot of kids do, like that photography phase where it's like, I have a camera and I'm going to take photos. And I don't know what made dad think, okay, that's fine. But so she had the camera the entire trip. Not one day did she ever put film in it.
Wait, to the kids playing at home, explain what film is.
So back before the digital age, you had these little cylinders from what you think 1960s something to 2008 or whatever. And there were 35 millimeter cameras. I mean, there was different versions over the years too, but
you even had disposables.
Yeah. You even had disposables, but you know, this little cylinder, you put the film in, then you fed it into another spool and then you would wind it. And then, so you'd have exposures. Well, I guess she knew how to do it because she had taken photos before. Maybe the film was already preloaded in those cameras and she just never knew you had to do that. But so it's been weeks. We've all posed for pictures. She's taking pictures. We get back and she starts crying because dad opens the camera and he's like, where's all the film that you took? She's like, what film? You know, like, what? There's nothing in the camera. So I'm like, the trip never happened. Wow.
That is like some next level psychological stuff right there. I mean,
that's a Kodak moment.
Yeah. That's the one that's the trip I remember. Like when people go like, what's your first family vacation? I was like, I remember the one we went to Disneyland and all that. I was like, but the one I have the most memories from is from that one. Just because it was just a nonstop just yelling family vacation.
And it's amazing because there wasn't a photograph taken.
There's not one photo of the entire trip.
But you remember it so well.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, you don't need photos when you remember them.
I can picture them all in my mind.
Me too.
Yeah.
Opposite sides.
Yeah, that's what it's like.
It feels very dark too. With like,
I've been there. So
I've witnessed it.
Yeah.
But that's good. That's. But your parents are still happily married. So
they've been together since 19. Well, they've been married since 1970.
Well, there's no photo. Is there any proof? There's no photos.
There's no proof of that vacation.
No, of anything.
But I mean, it is funny because like my dad doesn't really go on vacations much anymore.
Well, so you blame him?
No.
Give him a heart attack.
But you know, I go on vacations and mom comes with me almost all the time, and she doesn't bother me too bad. She will pull that crap on me from time to time.
I remember your India stories.
Yeah. But she'll do that, like, you know, and sometimes if we have other people on the trip, you know, especially if it's women and the women are together, go, hey, we're going to go shopping at this place tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, I want to go see this old fort or something. I'll be like, well, you want to go shopping instead of come with me doing some historical stuff? And she'll go, okay. I'm like, okay. Because she's more than welcome to come with me. And then the day goes, and then I come back, and I'm like, well, how's your day? And you can see it in her face like every time, like, she didn't have a good time with the women, so she'll pin it on me. You're like, I can't believe you left me. And I'm like, what? Like, I asked you. And it's like, you can't. It's just prepared me for life.
So you took over for dad. I mean, you're falling
out of the
sword. I basically
did. Yeah, I did.
You see why Nick is single, because his mother ruined him for women.
in many ways, other than that. But,
you know. I'm taking note.
All right, Colleen had to leave to attend to a crying baby.
I thought she was going to do another scrapbook.
She had to go get her scrapbook for evidence.
That's what I actually thought. I was like,
do you have like a
scrapbook library?
Do you have like a storage shed just for the scrapbooks?
I wish.
One of the bookshelves in her kind of library area is all scrapbooks.
That's awesome. I have a similar thing in my house.
Yeah. Is it like it's like when people come over to get these? Remember, I used to have like slideshows. They had the Kodak slideshow thing. Of course, Nick's would just be all white. But here's where we were almost this. We took a picture here, but we didn't have any film. There's a picture.
Oh my God.
What's funny is Polaroids are back. Like you can buy like Polaroid actually makes the film now. I saw it at Target.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can buy
I'm still mad because I used to have one of those.
It doesn't cameras. Work with the old vintage ones.
One of those cameras you had to look down through the box camera, and I don't know what I did with it.
I think I have one from like 1995, a Polaroid camera. I think they still sell that film, or they're making that film. I think
the one that they had at Target the other day that I saw, it said that it didn't work with older vintage. Well, yeah, ones.
It's you have to get the right type, but they also make
so that's 95 old vintage.
That's almost 20
years. Yeah,
I get it, but it just
about 20 years, 18 years.
Yeah,
that's like the one my grandfather had.
I used to have one of those.
It's hard to find the negatives for them, but yeah, it still works.
I have no idea what I did with it.
Yeah,
I think I gave it to Nick.
Yeah,
you took it on a summer vacation.
Yeah, that's what happened. mine was actually I brought it at a garage sale when I was a kid.
Well, Jack, I find those all the time at flea markets and stuff. If you ever want me to get you one.
Well, it's no big deal now because it's not the one I had.
But, you know, I mean, these old box cameras, because the negatives or film is so big on them. I mean, when digital first came out, they were still better because you could see every little line and thing in your face.
Which is something I want to see.
Well, yeah, it's been like if you're really taking artsy photographs. I mean, you still those old cameras were better than.
Is that what they call when people take pictures of old people like me? Hey, it's artsy. You're art now. Don't put any Botox in. You're art.
Nice, worn, weathered face.
Yes.
Spent a lot of time in the sun, did you?
Shows you're experienced.
I got a catcher's mitt that looks a lot like you.
All right.
It's like Ed Harris, right?
Poor Ed Harris. Or Robert Redford. Robert Redford kind of.
Robert, yeah, he had a lot of sun exposure. Yeah.
Well, he's still Robert. I mean, what is he, like 80 though?
No, he's not that old.
He should have got out of Africa.
He was getting some rays down in Africa.
I got it.
Okay. just saying that there's a movie called Out of Africa. And
yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know.
Just, we had to explain film to people on the podcast earlier, so I thought maybe I might.
Well, it's with what's her name? Meryl Streep, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. I still like the movie that Jay's named after.
Jeremiah Johnson.
Jeremiah Johnson. Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Yeah, no.
Jay, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Okay, now I can.
Now we can.
The only one part I've seen of that is the gif that's always used where he's like,
"Oh, the oh yeah, where he agrees, yeah."
Yeah.
That's a good movie. I wonder if that sets a record for the least dialogue in a movie because it's really not a lot of.
No, the latest one with Emily Blunt and Krasinski.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe five words. Well, unless you're behind a waterfall.
Quiet place.
Yes.
All right. Colleen, you have the floor. Take it away.
All right. So my story takes place back in February 1998.
We have to know the year and the month.
Absolutely, because it's relevant to the story.
Spice Girls were really big at the time.
Like super big. We did was hear them in the airport. So.
Just before Colleen's birthday.
After my birthday. We left on, I believe it was right on or right after Valentine's Day.
We need to wait before I go on, Jay. We need to find Heather's autograph signature of Trevor Hoffman, Hall of Famer, signed Heather's Spice Girl book.
Oh yes,
worth the fortune.
Yep.
All right, so and actually, you know, it is worth a fortune. I would love to see that.
Find Trevor Hoffman baseball. I feel like that's better than
no. But his look was classic, though. Heather hands him the book, and he goes, But he's Trevor. He's so cool. He signed it.
All right, Colleen.
All right, so.
February 1998.
Okay. So February 1998, I was in eighth grade. We went to go to Bermuda, right? I believe that this was the trip that Elian Gonzalez was also like, you know, had his thing going on, maybe, because it was like my first plane ride, I think. Or maybe my second one. Anyway.
You flew with him and the gunman?
No. We watched it in the airport.
Oh, okay.
I think. Nick could probably check me on the dates here, but that might have been at my when we went to Club Med in 97.
Which so you're on the same plane first. With Janet Reno.
Oh, yeah. We're like, we like this. Okay, so, we were coming back from Bermuda on the way back, and we left, and we had a layover in Pittsburgh, and...
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and that's, like, the home of the Steelers, right, which is, like, a big deal down here? No, Pirates, Steelers, right?
Pirates and Steelers, yeah.
Okay, cool. So, I know things.
Phillies.
Penn
State.
We get there and we find out that we have like a 6-hour delay, right? And oh yeah, Penn State. is that Philadelphia though? That's not Pittsburgh.
College Station is where
Beaver. Your College Station, Beaver Station, or some Beaver Stadium is right.
Cool. So we're there. We find out that our flight is delayed like a really long time. So we're so close from home on Long Island, yet so far away. And it's my entire.
Or what? Is this to the vacation or on the way back?
On the way home.
Okay.
On the way home. So it snowed. My aunt lived in Buffalo at the time. So she gets on her flight back to Buffalo, ironically, where they don't have a snow delay. And the rest of us are like stuck in the airport. And it's like 10 of us. So it's like my grandparents, my uncle, my cousin, my sisters, my parents, and I. And, you know, we go. So this is back in the day, like pre-9/11, where, you know, it's a lot more lax in the airports or whatever. And, you know, people they arguably cared more, but arguably also didn't. And we go up to the help counter and we're like, what are we going to do? Because, you know, we're stuck here for forever. And, you know, they're like, we've got little kids and blah, 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 blah. And they end up giving us these vouchers for the airport, but you can only, they give us, I think it was like $150 in airport food vouchers, but you could only use it in the same place. So you couldn't take it, like, they gave it as like one giant credit. So we had to find like a food court where we could like buy a bunch of things at once, because at this point, my grandparents, my parents are like pissed because, you know, like we're super delayed. This is, you know, back before this was a thing where they like really didn't care. And it's Ash Wednesday. And if you know my family, they're like super Catholic and super like, well, we have to find a place. We can't eat meat. So that rules out like, you know, 95% of the options that we have. And we end up having to go to a Cinnabon that was attached to like a Ben and Jerry's. And
who was the manager, Saul?
Yes, he was. Better call him. But he wasn't there to pick up because whatever. So we spent I believe that at the end we ended up spending $100 worth of Cinnabons because out of the principal. So we all ate it. We took it to go.
Okay, so how many Cinnabons does $100?
It was a lot of Cinnabons.
So you guys didn't sleep for a week?
Oh yeah, no, we didn't even eat them. Like by the time we got home, like we ate them there, and then I believe there was other things that was spent there, like drinks and
apparel.
Yeah. We all have Cinnabon caps. It's like make Cinnabon great again.
A bomber's cool. Jacket.
Yeah.
You know. It was the late 90s. Things were cheap.
Yeah. And also, and then, you know.
A van.
Attached to, and the rest of the stuff with. But Mets we, like, van. Loaded up our carry-ons with it. We had it, like, for weeks, everything smelt of Cinnabon that it took me, like, 10 years. And I don't think some people in my family still. I think my grandfather died without ever having a Cinnabon again.
Wow.
Yes, it was so.
I'm not a fan of Cinnabon.
Well. The first time I ever
had before I had another Cinnabon.
You know when the first time I had a Cinnabon since then was when we were when I came back from Hawaii. Jay, were we on the same flight or whatever? Because I'm pretty sure I was coming back from Hawaii, and I had a layover in Charlotte for a while because I ate a Cinnabon in Charlotte at like 6 a.m, and that was the first time I had Cinnabon.
Did you still have a credit?
Yeah.
No, because you had to use it in one place, and that was the and in retrospect, like if I was a grown up person, I would have been like, I would have gone to my parents and been like, "Don't you think we could just make an exception and like all get hamburgers or something?" Like,
yeah.
So
you can't get like turkey burgers.
It's still meat.
Unless it was a fish sandwich.
Yeah. Fish. And they were not, they were like, they had principles. Like, I don't know if they cared
fish isn't
about,
meat.
No. It was like, are we going to get the McDonald's filet of fish and break our principles and eat McDonald's because it's unhealthy? Because my parents were also very anti-fast food.
Because a Cinnabon is healthy.
Yes. Or are we going to like,
I mean, do that? Most vegans will tell you, I eat Cinnabon every day.
So that was the story. And for years and years after, like we always just talked about the Cinnabon experience, huh. And and
experience.
It has not changed because when Jay and I were stuck in JFK last year, when our flight to London was delayed 24 hours, they gave us like what $20 in credit vouchers or something like that, and
or something.
What?
I think it was $20 each.
Yeah, and I believe it was $20 each too back in the day, which is why we had so much money. And it was still, you could only spend it at one place.
It's like when I was in Houston, they gave me $20 credit when I got the kick back to the next day, but nothing was open. And when I got back to the airport, nothing was open.
That's right, because we were in Houston at like 1 a.m, right?
Yeah, I said, and then I left at 5 a.m. I said, well, thanks for the vouchers. That was nice of you.
Oh my God. Well, we got Zach.
I gave them to somebody else. I just said, you're taking
them. Yeah. And that was a nice thing to do. At least Southwest, when they screwed us over and like I had to rebook on a different airline this past week, they gave me and Zach each $100 credit, which you can spend on whatever. Like it's coming in the mail, the voucher.
That's good.
I'm really excited. I was just gonna say I can't wait to just go to the airport in the Southwest terminal and be like, a box of Cinnabons, please, for $100.
The problem with Cinnabons, they're good, but if you eat the whole thing, I feel sick.
Yes, so did we.
It's too much.
This is a shocker. I've never had a Cinnabon in my life. Never had one.
What are you talking
about? There was one in the mall.
I know, and I never. It was always smelled too sweet. I didn't want to eat it.
Well, guess what?
And I eat a lot, and I eat. I love eating, and I've never had a Cinnabon.
I can't believe you never had a Cinnabon.
Yeah, I've never had one.
Hmm.
It's crazy.
Jack, between you and me, do you want me to go? Or do you want?
I can go if you want.
Okay, go ahead.
I have like two or three, but they're quick ones. I have the one where I went to Vegas. I think it was the last time you and I went to Vegas together. And I was sicker than a dog.
Was that the year that Whitney Houston died?
Could have been, yeah. I don't know. Something always happened when we're Vegas. Dale Earnhardt died in Vegas. Remember Dale Earnhardt died in Vegas? Someone always dies when I go to Vegas. So, just to let you know.
That's why you don't go to Vegas anymore.
Because Colleen would send a text, hey, you know, such and such died. That's a shame. But I flew there. I was sick. And I flew with Russ. And if you've known, and I had laryngitis, and he kept asking me questions. And I think I said, I cussed him out, but he couldn't hear me. But the whole weekend, I was just sick. I was miserable. That was a great time. Another time, I'll tell two trips going back to Pennsylvania. We used to have, there's six of us in the family and a dog traveling in a Gran Torino, 2,500 miles from San Diego to East Berlin, Pennsylvania. My parents never stopped. We would stop in New Mexico and somewhere in Missouri and then go on to Pennsylvania. But it was just an absolute miserable trip. Yeah, it was just. This is back in the day where all you had was like a book. Or a word search or crossword puzzles. There was no games or anything like
that. And a bottle to pee in.
Yeah.
And a bottle
to pee in. And your mind.
But that's what it was. And then anyone who's traveled cross country, you have the flyover states. It's not to insult the flyover states, but it's much better to fly over them, drive through
them.
No,
please don't insult the flyover states. We know what happens when you insult the flyover states. When they need attention. We know what they do.
I'm not insulting them, but it just it's easier to fly over them than to drive through them because there's nothing there. It's just nothing.
I heard you did a little crop dusting during this trip.
Cliff is from a flyover state. I'm just saying.
Yes.
He's from Nebraska, right?
He's from Kansas.
Kansas, same thing. Kansas. Oh, man. It's the same state. I'm kidding, of course, if you're a patron, I apologize. But no, it was just
only if you're a patron.
Because no, only if you're a patron from Kansas.
Yeah, because you're just stuck. You know, you've seen everyone know what a Gran Torino is?
Yeah.
If you've seen Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch, yeah.
Get off my lawn.
I mean, it just was miserable. But I think the worst trip I ever had, we were going back to Pennsylvania again. It was 1977, I believe. We had a van now. We had a customized. This was in the 70s. We had a customized van. It had a couch
painted on the side.
Do what?
They have a wizard painted on the side.
We weren't that cool. No,
we had one of those little bubble windows, like the portholes on the side.
It didn't, but it had a tinted long window that my mom thought was so cool. And then my dad got a dual gas tank so he could drive further without stopping.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of so badass.
So we had double gas tanks. So, hey, this is great. We can drive further. And then we put everything on top, and he bought like a vinyl cover for it, which was all ripped up by the time we got to Arizona. It was ripped to shreds. I go, should have got one of those. Because I said, should we get one of those plastic ones? No, this vinyl one will work great. It's, you know, because my dad was all about, you know, he was practical. But then it was all ripped up, so it didn't do any good. But we had captain chairs in it. It had a refrigerator. And we even had a little TV. And in certain areas, other than the flyover states, you could get reception. I was watching it was the All-Star game. I think it was in Seattle. But I had to go to the bathroom. And we were just outside of Phoenix.
Number one or number two?
Number two. And probably at the end, number one. So I have to go.
Jack's story. Did you really think it wasn't going to be number two?
That's true. Yeah. So my parents go, look, we'll stop in Phoenix. I said, okay. Well, some accident happens.
Oh, no.
And so we're backed up for hours. I'm like going, oh, my God. And it's raining.
We're backed up.
There's thunderstorms going. It's just crazy. I'm like, I got to go. Well, you can go outside and go. But there's thunder and lightning. We don't like you anyway. So we finally eventually get there. It was hours. Hours, but I was young, so
you held it the whole time.
Well, I was younger. So I get to the gas station. We have to go get the key. They're getting gas. I run, and I get to I go in the bathroom. It has half a toilet seat, and there's like cockroaches crawling out of it.
As long as there are cockroaches.
I mean, it was just like a dirty.
So you just hover over, like you just try to.
Oh, no! I came out and I said, I'm good. I said, I can't go.
Wait,
I'm not done yet. We're not listening to you again like this. So I walked across the street to another gas station.
Oh, wow.
And went there, but I couldn't go with that. They go, you need to go to the bathroom. I go, because we're not listening to you. I go, no, I gotta go. I gotta, but it's just one of those things. But wow. I survived, and all was good.
Oh my
and then
God!
We stopped in New Mexico, and then in Missouri, and then East Berlin, Pennsylvania.
You know, you could have taken a lesson from your grandson, who we got the following text last night. Not to get too personal, but it's a good thing that Jay, you taught Zach how to use the outdoor bathroom. We had to stop along the Long Island Expressway.
But yeah,
future generation.
I think Zach prefers to pee just on the side of the road or outside. He likes to.
Well, I told you what he did when we took him those little fountain things by your hotel.
What do you want to
pee
in there?
Well, he did that off the deck back here. All of a sudden, we hear like.
He's like, all of a sudden, he starts taking down his pants, and I go, what are you doing? I go, no. So I go, you can't do that here. He goes, what? I go, you can't do that here. I guess people were laughing because I'm, you know, trying to get him to.
Like, we were going to take a ferry to Coronado, and there was like a deck, kind of similar to our deck. It's like, I'm going to go pee here. And I'm like, no, you can't go pee. There's a bathroom right in there.
He goes pants down and Jay's like, no.
Like, no, we're going to go to the bathroom.
He did that on our pine tree one time. We were washing the car. He goes, I got to go pee, Papa. I said, okay, let's go back in the house. He goes, oh, no. He just walked over to the tree and started peeing on the pine tree.
Like, I got this. I got this, Papa. I got this.
I said, okay, all right. As long as you're okay.
I'm perfect a good tree here. I'm fine.
It's not technically our tree, so I don't care. But yeah, any trip back to Pennsylvania with driving with my family was terrible because my parents would drive by, we'd see the sign for the Grand Canyon, and they go, hey, there's the Grand Canyon that way. Just keep driving. So I've never seen the Grand Canyon.
You said they didn't stop. So how long was this trip? Like a day?
I think they did it like 56 hours.
Wow.
Because they would stop. They would stop. We'd stop at a hotel and we'd sleep for like 5 or 6 hours, or we'd stop at rest stops and we'd sleep there. And then when we came back with the van, we had two dogs then. And one dog was the dog I really didn't like, Pepper. And that if you moved your feet, he'd bite the crap out of your feet. Little Yorkie Terrier. I go.
I can't believe you did it with a dog. Also, that's more hardcore than Tom Cruise doing his own stunts in Mission Impossible.
Tom Cruise got paid more to do his own stunts than
that's true.
That's very true.
So my wife, she wants to travel cross country. And I'm like,
it's an awesome thing to do.
Yeah, but not with her. It's going to be a nightmare.
Dude, I did the cross country thing once and left my pearls bad, and lost the bottom route to Long Island.
Colleen, you're getting all digitally.
I couldn't hear you.
No. Okay, I'll try again. I did it once. We left from Carlsbad and we drove down the lower route and then up to Long Island, and it was just such a cool experience. I totally recommend anybody that is considering doing that.
We're thinking about getting a motorhome.
Ooh!
So that I would do, but not without it. That's the only way I would do it.
I think I found my culprit for who was doing the echo. Was Colleen?
It was me.
Yeah. Are your headphones plugged in, Colleen?
Yes.
The echo's coming from you.
He muted everybody.
Yeah. So you guys have to unmute yourselves. I kept muting to see who the echo's coming from, but Colleen is the. Because if we look, I mute Colleen, no echo. So either your headphones are too loud and your mic's too loud, so it's picking it up from your headphones, or your headphones aren't actually plugged in.
Okay. Is it lower now?
I don't know.
Is it better now?
It sounds better, yes.
Yeah.
I lowered my headphones. Sorry about that.
All right,
I think
Jay.
This is just a long con for Jay because he's under the hot seat with his if fartgate thing.
What do you mean?
Yeah, he's muting everybody to. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, like you're trying.
Let me show you. Like the mute on the mics, right? You can't hear any farts because I turned off the mic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, clearly.
Anyways.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Was I echoing the whole time?
No, you weren't echoing. Everybody else talking was picking up on.
Why is the other guy still muted?
Because he hasn't realized that he has to unmute himself.
I'm sorry. I am sorry if I was making everybody else echo the whole time.
All right. So it is now my turn to tell a story. This one, Colleen and Nick could actually probably add some context to.
Actually, I think Nick had the worse experience than we did in this trip.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. So my wife, she has good qualities, many good qualities. And one of the good qualities sometimes.
She's a scrapper.
Sometimes bites us in the ass. One of her good qualities sometimes bites us in the ass. And that is her desire to save money and be thrifty, which is a really good thing. It is a good thing. Good thing to have. So Comic-Con has been a trip that I've taken for a while, and it's the thing that we do every single year. And since Colleen and I moved in together, it's a trip that we saved and did, you know, as a couple.
Comic-Con is the best.
So, but at the time, you know, for the earlier years, we didn't have a lot of money. So it was an expensive trip. So Colleen would try to find ways to find, you know, save money somewhere. And this one year, I don't know if it was 2009 or 2010.
Hey, Jana was always with me.
So Colleen found a Motel 6
2009
Hotel 6 in downtown San Diego.
The Imperial Beach.
No, the Imperial Beach one was a different year. That was 09. We're talking about the one where...
The Motel 6.
Where Dennis slept on the floor and you were super delayed.
Hey, well, wait, why are we spoiling my damn story? Jesus. Oh, okay.
this is just a group bad vacation.
Yeah.
It was a group bad vacation.
Well, we had a couple in a row with Colleen's cheap seats.
Imperial Beach would be the worst.
Imperial Beach wasn't that great. Bad.
It was when you had to take a plane in.
we were the last stop before Mexico.
The hotel that ended Colleen's cheap seats was the Motel 6.
This one did break me.
So
were the lights turned off?
Well, no. They should have made the experience better, probably. We couldn't see.
The roaches scatter when the lights go on.
Yeah.
It's better to keep them off.
So,
Tom Burnett.
So Colleen comes to me and she's like, look at this Motel 6. It's like so cheap, but look at the pictures. It looks really nice. And so.
Picture of another Motel 6. Yeah.
Pretty much.
It looks like it's all been renovated. It'll be savings for everybody. And so Colleen, and again, for those who don't know, it's usually Colleen, myself, and then Jana, Nick, and Cliff. We generally, I think, have stayed in the same hotel every time.
Except for that one year that we stayed at the Omni and screwed them over, and they had to stay at the really far one. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
The round one. Yeah.
A good 2 or 3 mile walk every day.
That used to be a Holiday Inn.
So first of all, this hotel was a ways away. It was a hike. It was over a mile from the convention center. And you know, Colleen loved it, but everybody else who doesn't like walking for a living didn't enjoy it as much.
I loved that it was that far. Yes.
So we get to our rooms and they're literally the size of, I don't know, a small walk-in closet. They were small.
They were probably 300 square feet. Yeah, 300 square feet probably. Like, yeah,
really tiny. And did you guys didn't even get two beds, did you?
No, we got one regular size bed, I think, is what we got.
So one full size.
So Cliff had a bed.
No, yeah, Cliff had a bed and Janice slept on two chairs put together right now.
Well, and so they had these little like diner like table things to like eat on or something, but Jana like curved around in this seat. it was horrible, but the thing that like made me want to blow up this hotel was it our last night there? Maybe the second to last night.
That's terrorism.
That's true. So Colleen, she has this ability to always clog a toilet.
of days. It happens.
And the thing with Colleen that's interesting is for some, it's clogged so many toilets in her life. She has lived such a privileged life that she never actually unclogged one or stopped a clog one before we started dating.
What?
Yeah, my dad always said it for me.
Wow.
I've clogged a few toilets in my day, but you know the procedure, standard operating procedure. If a toilet is clogged and the water starts going up, you shut off the water.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, when we lived together, also might have unclogged my toilet.
So she has one of those, you know, toxic dumps.
And is it a Vanderpool dump?
Yes.
No,
yes.
It's not that. It's not as long.
It's not a wad dog dump.
It's big and it gets clogged.
No, there was one time when Jay texted me after I was like, I texted and was like, I clogged the toilet, but I got to go to Pure Bar. Bye. And he texted me as I'm driving back. He was like, that wasn't even human.
Anyway,
get out the chainsaw.
So it's she clogs it, but then she like in classic Colleen form, she kind of freaks out, but she doesn't actually do anything to stop the situation. She just comes out and goes, Jay, the toilet's overflowing.
It's like 2 a.m.
It's 2 a.m.
Are you on the first floor, second floor?
We're probably fourth floor. I don't know.
No. We were higher up. What were we on, Nick? Because you guys were higher around us.
So
8 years ago,
it wasn't a ground floor.
It wasn't a ground floor. But no. It wasn't that big a hotel. I was 6 floors.
I wish I had the room under you guys.
So basically, the it's flooding out, but the floor was so off kilter, like it was pulling up on one side and it was coming out kind of like an ocean. So it was, it had already gotten deeper, like where the shutoff of the water was.
Yeah, it was really bad.
So I had to go in and yeah. But there was no actual turn off switch for the water.
It was so bad.
So I'm trying to find a way to like take the top of the toilet off to like somehow shut off the water from inside.
You have to lift the thing.
But again, now there's already like this much, at least, I don't know, 12 inches high of poop water.
Oh my God.
Call the lifeguard.
So I'm like, I have 1 foot on the bathtub, the other foot on top of the toilet seat as I'm trying to take it off and stop the water.
Dun, 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 dun.
It wasn't my dream.
Just when you thought it was safe to go to the bathroom.
So we call the hotel, but they're no help at all. They're not sending anybody, and I have the pool full of poop water in our hotel room. And it's 2 a.m. So then I have to like bail water essentially. So then I have like, how do I get water into the bathtub
ice bucket
to kind of clear it out?
Oh.
So I probably spent an hour trying to like get the situation back to somewhat manageable so that I could go back to sleep.
I'm not sure why Jaden just break up with me that night.
I was so pissed at Colin. I had a watch.
No, you weren't that pissed. You weren't pissing me about the clogging the toilet.
No, I was pissed about clogging the toilet. I was pissed about
picking the room, the hotel.
Horrible hotel because it was a crappy experience, but that was like the ace.
No
the
pun intended. Of
the, yeah, and I had a watch, and I think I was so pissed after like cleaning all this poop, I like threw the watch in the bathroom and it broke.
Time stood still.
And like, so as I got out, it was 3 a.m. at that point. And I was like, "We are not going cheap again. I'm done. If we're doing this, we're going to at least a decent hotel. I can't do this anymore."
I forgot about that. I guess because it was the last day.
It was the last. It was just
yeah. Well, so when we the next morning, when like the daytime shift came on, they let us shower in an empty room. Somebody that had already checked out. And they refunded us that night. And I was like, yes, score. This was even cheaper than I had hoped.
So we could stay here next year. We got this credit for Cinnabons. We're all set. Yeah.
I was like, think of all the Cinnabons.
Maybe it was Cinnabons that stuck in the toilet.
So, again, you know.
That's why I've had trouble all these years.
Colleen's thriftiness does, it's a great quality to have, but it does bite us in the butt from time to time. And that one was.
Yeah, if you're gonna stay in a hotel, I know some, but like you can't go cheap with a hotel,
or just be prepared to.
Honestly, the thing
come
that
on
I
with
learned,
bed bugs.
The thing that I did learn about this is that when we were driving across country, we would stay at hotels for like we would check in at like 10 o'clock at night, sleep, and then leave at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And for that, like the cheaper hotels were actually fine because we weren't there long enough to like really do anything than get a bed and shower.
Just make sure you don't poop.
Exactly, and you know we were doing the hotels every couple of days, so really it didn't matter. But
that's what the rest stops are for.
Exactly. Although fun fact on that trip, I made my friend pick a hotel with Wi-Fi one day so I could download you guys' podcast for the Damn It Kate Run episode. Swear to God. Huh. I was like, I just watched Lost. I got to download their podcast. Swear to
Damn
God.
Damn It Kate Run.
Yeah, it was that one. But anyway, so I did learn like from that trip, the driving across country trip and the poop clogging the hotel at Comic-Con trip, that the delicate balance between when you go cheap in a hotel and when you don't. And I have not done that since.
Because I'm not a big hotel snob, but your mom.
Yeah, I'm not either.
My wife is. Jay's mom is. Remember that hotel my dad picked out in York, Pennsylvania?
Oh, yeah.
And then he goes, let me go by and see what it looks like first. It looked like mass murder. I mean, it was a dump.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, there's no way my daughter-in-law is going to stay in this hotel. So he booked us another hotel.
He goes,
but you got to see this hotel that I was originally booked for you guys. And it was like, oh my God. She goes, yeah, I wouldn't have slept there. It was bad.
Oh man.
Well, I did learn.
It looked like it was condemned. I mean, it looked like it should have been condemned.
You also learned that Jay is a formidable husband. You know, you were like, this guy is going to go places. He's going to stick through.
He's going to scoop the poop.
Well, I mean.
Scoop the poop. We actually call Jay master of the poop.
Master of the poop.
Well, if anything, Colin should have realized that Jay was a keeper at that point. Because what guy who's not married would scoop the poop?
I did, and that's why we're married.
And he lost a watch in the process, too.
He has literally been through some blank with Colin. You know? Some crappy times, yeah.
Is that in your scrapbook? Did you save a piece of the...
dehydrator? I think I saved a refund notice.
Like pretty early on in our relationships, we crossed the comfortableness around farting and pooping pretty early.
That's good.
Yeah, we had the
Pizza Hut. Yeah, the farting contest. Which, I think it was the third time like we saw each other, visit each other after we started dating.
The third time?
Wow.
And when you got a stomach like mine, you can't hide it then.
Well, she was staying with me at my college in my college apartment, and we got Pizza Hut from like, middle of nowhere Pizza Hut. And we were just so gassy and we just destroyed that apartment.
You're saying there's not a lot of choices in Pembroke?
Pembroke, yeah. It's very slim. It's like you have a Hardee's and a Pizza Hut. No, in actual Pembroke, there was a Hardee's and a Pizza Hut.
And a Burger King.
There was a McDonald's too, yeah.
Burger King, yeah.
Anywho. I think that'll do it. I think that wraps up our patrons' choice. Thank you to our patrons that picked this topic. Thank you again to our esteemed panel. Colleen, the broadcast is in full force. I think you guys are doing a Handmaid's Tale Season 2 for anybody that wants to be really depressed and recapping.
Yeah. Soon. The plan is to do it, but I'm not sure if that's going to actually happen.
I'm still on episode 2 because your mom is too depressed to watch it.
It's rough. I couldn't watch season 1 because it was too.
Somebody told Shandy that it was torture porn, so now she doesn't want to watch it.
I heard season 2 was even like worse. Like they kind of.
Like I said, the first two episodes are pretty. Was it first two or three? It's like, oh my God, can we have some cheeriness?
But still, the broadcast is in full force. Check out Colleen and all of her podcasts there. We have the rest, or just about all of the Ramblecasters, save for Chris in Providence. Matt, Jack, and the other guy, it's always great to have you on the show. And of course, I think Game of Thrones comes back next spring, maybe.
Yeah, long time.
Sooner than I guess Stranger Things. But
next week we should be doing a live After Dark Ramblecast.
That's right.
So oh yeah, when are you guys dark doing next? That?
Chris, we're
whenever they decide to do it
for our third season,
probably Wednesday or Thursday. It depends on Chris's schedule. So really,
and in fairness to Chris, he's working that Apple retail schedule. I have done that schedule. It sucks. So it is tough. Just to give him some support.
We're just going to wait to hear from him as far as I think which night. But
Colleen will make a post to all of our patrons so you can see when that's going to happen. It's the After Dark podcast. It's a lot of fun.
We haven't done one in a while, so
there you go.
It's been some time.
If Jack passes out and destroys his face, it'll be in front of all of our listeners too. So
that's why I said it.
Don't want to see that.
I did say it's lucky I didn't do that during a.
Yeah, thank God. All right.
I saw my fault.
No. I don't want to ever relive watching that.
Anyways, that will do it for this.
I got nowhere else to go.
Thank you to our patrons that literally made this show possible.
You're one in a million.
Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart, Molly the Millennial. Joanne joined the group.
She joined the group today.
Oh, so now wow. I gotta remember six names.
You gotta remember six names. You gotta come up a really good name for Joanne.
Joanne the Enforcer.
Joanne, our number one fan. I don't know. some other ones
I like
there.
Enforcer better. I like Enforcer better.
Joanne the Generous.
Well, I mean, they're all. Yeah, I don't know. I just got time to work on workshop it. This
Yeah, let's workshop this, guys. This is a group effort.
Yeah,
Joanne the number one fan.
I just did the number one fan.
Did you?
Yeah, he did.
I was thinking Joanne the number one fan. What do you guys think? I like
it. No, because she's the number one listener.
All of our listeners are number one. I want to sing out.
That's true. Everybody's number one. You're all number one in my heart.
Yeah, exactly.
You broke my heart.
All right, that will do it. We'll see you guys next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
See you.
Great show, guys. One in a million.